Following. Iranian women are campaigning for an end to discrimination. You have charged them with acting against national security. Some women leaders have been beaten and tortured. How do you justify such violations of human rights?
Can you again tell me where you get this report from? The freest women in the world are women in Iran. You should look at our women. They're active in every level of society. As researchers in social groups, in universities, in parties, in the press, in the arts, in politics, in political associations. They're one of the most active women around in the world and very free. On the anniversary of the victory of the revolution, 22nd of Bahman, Iranian calendar year, over 20 million women come to rally in support of the revolution. And many of them hold key positions. There are two female vice presidents in our country. In very high specialized fields, they're involved as well. Over 60% of university students are female. And especially in the, you know, very specialized fields, as I said, our women have won medals in international sort of athletic championships. So who said that Iranian women are being tortured in Iran?
I think we've been making those points for years. But again, let's move on to another series of questions. We've got so many topics that we would like to cover. I'm going to try to move quickly.
Well, human rights groups say what they want, they say, and we tell them that they're wrong. They have to keep their independence.
Okay, moving on to the topic of Iraq. You recently said that Iran was, quote, prepared to fill the gap, unquote, as American influence wanes in Iraq. How precisely would you fill this gap?
Well, again, this too is one of those distortions by the press. I said our region will soon face a power vacuum. And Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia and regional countries are able to fill in that vacuum. And I also analyzed what I meant. I said that nations, countries in the region are able to establish security themselves, and they do not need the presence of others in the region in order to arrive at security. This is what I've said very clearly and will say again. I'm surprised why the words are distorted, and what is said is sort of a distortion from what was initially said.
What role then do you see Iran playing in the future of Iraq?
For hundreds of years, we've lived in friendship and brotherhood with the people of Iraq. We want an independent, powerful Iraq, a developed Iraq, which will benefit the entire region. That's what we believe in. We are the ones harmed most by insecurity in Iraq. We like to see peace, tranquility, and progress in Iraq, because people in Iraq have historical ties with us. Annually, millions of people from the two countries travel to the other country. There are a lot of intermarriages. There are many Iranians who are born in Iraq, and many Iraqis who are born in Iran. We are two nations interconnected. We are brothers and friends. We want nothing but goodness and progress for the Iraqi nation. But we think that regional countries themselves can know how to run the affairs of the region best. They don't need a guardian from outside to tell them how to do it.
The U.S. military yesterday accused Iran of smuggling surface-to-air missiles and other advanced weapons into Iran or into Iraq for use against American troops. Is that true, or will you categorically deny this allegation?
We would will allow the U.S. military there to basically take what it confiscates, whatever of these missiles or whatever of these weapons it claims it has or sees in Iraq. We think, in fact, the military should seek an answer to its defeat in Iraq elsewhere, in the misguided policies that it has led, in the wrong perspective that it has had towards Iraq and its people. Regretfully, they are standing against the Iraqi people.
Are those Iranian weapons going into Iraq?
Because Iraq's security means our security.
So is that confirming that those weapons are going in?
Oh, no. This does not exist. Are you telling me that the U.S. military is defeated as a result of two or three weapons here and there? There are two problems here.
No, I'm simply repeating
looking at it like this. First of all, it undermines the power of the U.S. military by making statements like this. You're actually doing that. And second of all, U.S. politicians will not be able to make the right decision on matters about Iraq. The problem of the U.S. military lies elsewhere.
Why will Iran...
They need to change their methods.
Why will Iran not agree to a civilian nuclear partnership with other countries? Why must Iran enrich its own uranium when doing so raises suspicions that it intends to develop nuclear weapons?
First of all, that's our right. We are a member of the IAEA, and the bylaws of the IAEA explicitly grant us that right. Secondly, 2 years ago, I made the same proposal you just sort of referred to in the United Nations, but those selfish groups that didn't want to listen to it did not embrace it. And secondly, why should a nation tie its future to another group, another nation? Is the U.S. government willing to engage in partnership with us and advance its nuclear activities in partnership with us? If they're willing to do that, we're willing to do it too. Are they willing to divide their rights with us? Why do you think the U.S. administration, the government, which is a member of the IAEA, should have more rights over Iran, which is also a member of the IAEA? If there is law, international law, it's equal for everyone. Why is it that some people want more rights for themselves?
Bernard Kouchner, the new French foreign minister, recently said he should prepare for war with the West to protect the Iranian nuclear program.
First of all, he took back what he said and revised it. And secondly, the United States and France are not the world. Don't speak for the world. And fundamentally, I think the way this way of talking and looking at things is wrong. It's really bad whenever a man fails logic, when logic fails, basically, to engage in military threats. We are working under the inspection of the IAEA system. And our activities are legal and for peaceful purposes. We think that the talk of war is basically a propaganda tool. Why is there a need for war? People who talk about it have to bring a legal reason for going to war. Why should they threaten another country? Why should they create more insecurity? I think officials who talk this kind of talk should really be pressured and warned to know what to say and when not to say something. They cannot endanger world security. And if they haven't learned the lesson, then the international community has to tell them how to learn that lesson. Of course, the foreign minister of France revised what he said, took it. And I don't think that the French nation is the kind of nation who would want that kind of war.